Good morning. It's 8:39 Finger Lakes Morning News. Time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. Laura Turbide has not gone away, by the way. She's just not available for the radio segments for a few weeks. She'll be back with us eventually. But in the meantime, Kimberly Alacqua's here. Good morning, Kim.
Morning, Ted.
It's always good to have you here. Now, I know one of the things you wanted to mention was with the ending of urgent care hours in Clifton Springs, the hours down the street here on Preemption Road are now expanded.
Yes, we're very excited to announce that starting March 6th, our Geneva Urgent Care will be open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and that's based on a community need and patient feedback.
All right, that's terrific, and I'm a satisfied customer. I think I still have my little scar here. Washing that wine glass one day, and the darn thing snapped, and I said, ooh, this is urgent but not emergent, so I'll take it to urgent care. So we're going to talk today about primary care and annual screenings and why they're so important. So we have a returning guest and a first-time guest. Let's introduce our panel today.
Yes, today we have Andre Forcier. He is our Chief Administrative Officer for FLH Medical PC. And we also have Dr. Philip Worth. He's an internal medicine physician with Waterloo Primary Care, and he's board certified.
All right, welcome to you both. I want to start with Andre and just to explain what FLH Medical PC is. It's an entity within the Finger Lakes Health umbrella, but it was kind of, I think, started with what we're talking about in mind, correct, which is just good, solid primary care, the old-fashioned family doctor, and getting these annual checkups and everything.
That's right. So FLH Medical PC is now a multi-specialty physician practice, but you're right. It was started back in the late 2000s with one primary care office. We've since expanded. Now we have six primary care offices with practices located in Penyan, Geneva, and Waterloo.
What was the thinking? It seems like medicine kind of got sort of specialist-based, and I mean, we still have a lot of specialists and we still have a need for them, but there's been that sort of shift in thinking back to the, like I said, the good old-fashioned family doctor, maybe in a little bit different kind of setting, but that basic care, kind of frontline care that prevents needing to see the specialists and things.
Yeah, so primary care, really the focus has been shifted back to them because now across the industry and across the country, there's a big focus on population health. So your primary care physicians are the gatekeepers of your care. They can help coordinate referrals to specialists. It's really about continuity of care with having a patient-centered model where you develop that relationship with your physician over time and they really become your key source and coordinating all of your care.
As Chief Administrative Officer, obviously you run the show, but are there special focuses? Are you involved in things like recruitment of doctors or scouting of new possible locations and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I'm involved with some of that, but really I really enjoy spending my focus working with our primary care doctors and improving the population health and the quality that we give. So I have the pleasure of working with these fine physicians like Dr. Worth here who can really improve the health of the communities that we serve.
All right, Dr. Worth's been with us before. Welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Ted.
So let's start with why it's so important to have that primary care physician and to develop that relationship, hopefully over a lifetime.
So I think there's a couple of different things as you think about this. When I started practice, it was more people coming to us and developing a relationship, and maybe not us reaching out quite as much as we do now. But as Andre was talking about population management, as we've gone electronic with all our information, we get more data on a day-to-day basis about what patients need mammograms, which patients need colonoscopies or blood pressure checks, who hasn't been in the office. We're able to run these reports and really reach out to the community to try to make phone calls to get them to come in. And why it's so important is, you know, I think about it kind of like checking the oil on a car. You know, we all bring our car in every 3,000 miles just to make sure everything's kind of going okay. And the same is true with primary care physicians. We should be the starting point to figure out, okay, where do we need to go from here?
So that's interesting. It's modern technology and modern access to data that led you to realize that the old-fashioned model is still a good one.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And the concept, you know, started, I don't know how long ago now, but it's this patient-centered medical home model where we should be your home base and we should be talking about all your needs and whether that's I need a mammogram or whether that's screening for depression. It's just a conversation between two people about where do we take my health from here and what can I do to make my health better moving forward.
But I think the new twist on that model is you reaching out, because in the days of the family doctor, I'm not sure the family doctor would call up and say, hey, you know, you should have this or that done. Is that kind of a new approach, the idea of sort of preemptive medicine?
Well, yeah, and it's completely different now than it was when I started 10 years ago. You know, as we transitioned to electronic medical records, there was a room of files and paper. And if you wanted to find data in a big room of charts, it's impossible. Now everything is in one electronic place, and you can just search things and get reports. So it's, to me, it's night and day different from when I trained.
So you talked about the car analogy, checking the oil. When should we get our oil checked as people? What sort of screenings should we have, and when should we have them done?
So at each different age group, it's different. But a physical with your doctor or a wellness check is we're talking about. It's something that, you know, once a year for the older population, you know, for that younger 18-year-old, maybe you're seeing him every 2, 3, 4, 5 years to run through things. Whether you're 50 or 65, it may be a little bit different with which particular screenings that we're talking about.
I know family history, for example, with breast cancer mm-hmm. guides your treatment decisions. Is it that way with other conditions as well? If you have a family history of a certain condition, does that change the math as to when you want to start coming in and how often?
Yes. So sorry I interrupted you there. So when you think about colon cancer, for example, everybody should have a colon cancer screening, and there's a couple different ways to do it now at age 50. But if you have a family member, your dad, mom, who had colon cancer, you're going to want to do that at 40. And with women in breast cancer, you talk about screening at 40 or screening at 50 as well.
What should be involved in the annual physical? And I imagine that probably changes as the years go on as well. But let's say, you know, a young, healthy person starting out in their 20s, what should a physical consist of?
So it's most of it now is talking about things. It's talking about your family history and your risk factors. Are you depressed as a young person? Are you smoking as a young person? Are you drinking too much alcohol as a young person? Are you obese as a young person? Obesity is really hard in our society right now and leads to multiple other medical problems. And sitting down and reviewing all that stuff. With younger individuals, we may do a blood work panel screening, cholesterol, that sort of thing. And the other thing with young individuals is immunizations, just making sure that you've had all your immunizations that you need along the way.
Do you find that, in general, are people willing to open up and answer those kinds of lifestyle questions honestly?
Yes and no. So oftentimes a nurse will start the process, and you walk in and the nurse starts to ask some of those questions. And then when I come in afterwards, I'm asking some similar questions, and some people start to open up with me. What is one of the newer entities in medicine is something called a care manager. And they help us coordinate all this stuff. And I was shocked to learn that some of my patients were opening up to my care manager things that they would never tell me, because they just didn't want to admit to their doctor that they were, you know, smoking 2 packs a day, not half a pack a day.
Now, you mentioned obesity earlier, which is a huge trigger for all kinds of things. If a patient doesn't bring that up, will you bring it up? Will you say to them, you know, I think you probably need to lose some weight?
So every time you walk in any office in our group, I certainly hope, you're going to get a height and a weight. And that height and a weight spits out a number called a BMI or a body mass index. And there are very clear indicators of whether you are healthy weight, overweight, or obese. And it should be a discussion every time you come in. If you are obese, it's my job to mention, hey, you fall into this obese category. We really have to start paying attention to diet and exercise.
At what point in age should someone begin the transition from a pediatrician to their hopefully lifelong adult provider?
Late teens, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. It will depend on the practice. I, as a general internist, generally treat adults. I'll start to take people 16 years of age and older. Others won't start until 18. Different pediatricians will let go at a different age group, but it's usually around that I'm finishing high school, heading off to college age.
I would imagine for a general practitioner that it's advantageous to see a whole family so you can sort of get that full picture rather than this person is this doctor, this person is that doctor. Is that helpful to have the whole family under that one umbrella?
It is, and it's really just relationships. You know, we're there as trusted friends to try to help you figure out what's best for your health. And whether that's losing some weight or getting a mammogram, we're there to try to educate you on what the best choices are for you.
We know about things like heart disease from smoking. We know about risks like breast cancer. Are there any other emerging risks that, that as society changes, you're seeing more of now than maybe there were 10 or 15 or how many ever years ago?
No, there's nothing really that jumps out at me. The one question that comes out a lot that is sort of different from what we used to do, with men's health, you talk about prostate cancer screening. And when I started training, you would get a rectal exam and a blood test for the prostate, whether you had any symptoms or not. And that's a screening test that a lot of people, especially the older individuals who have been through it, expect. We recommend against that now. So if a man has absolutely no symptoms, no urinary symptoms, there is no need to be screening for prostate cancer. Now, if there is a change in your urine stream or you're waking up multiple times at night, now it's different. It's not screening anymore. I'm trying to identify a problem that you're telling me about.
You've mentioned the increased importance of rapport. How do we as a patient judge that with a potential new provider? I mean, can we interview our doctor and just try to see that there's going to be a good fit there personality-wise?
So in our office, we will have, you know, meet and greet type visits where you come in and you just sit down and we talk about things and we review things. And I encourage people, if you're not comfortable, change. Find somebody that you are comfortable with. You know, when you go in to see your doctor, bring a list of the things that are important to you. And when you come in to see me, there are a lot of things that are important to me that I need to get through about these screening things. But don't let your primary care doctor overlook the things that are important to you and bring that list and make sure that they get addressed.
What kind of ongoing training do you get in the primary care field?
I am in a board year, so this year I have to recertify. You have to do so many hours a year in training. I go to conferences every year, every summer. And every 10 years you get recertified. And that some of that involves now online training where you have to commit to so many hours in the year before you're allowed to take that test.
All right, one last question for you, Andre. Is expansion something that you're looking at as this model takes off? Do you want to try to find more locations and expand the locations of FLH Medical PC?
Well, we're always trying to keep an eye on the community and see what the needs are. So that's something that's always on the forefront, is just really matching our location and our provider levels to the communities that we serve. No immediate plans for expansion in the near future, but something we're always keeping an eye on.
Our guest today, Andre Forcier, Chief Administrative Officer with FLH Medical PC, and Dr. Philip Worth, one of the family practitioners. Thank you both. We appreciate the update. And Kimberly, thank you as always for coming in.
It's nice to see you, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks for joining us this morning. 8:52 now on the Finger Lakes Morning News.